Dave Moore on Today FM podcast.
Think about this for a second. The hair straighteners, the makeup, the fake tan, the giggles, the gossip. For girls around Ireland, getting ready for the big night out was just as much crack as the night itself was. And even now, it's still happening in bedrooms all around the country. Emer Lynch is the photographer who's gotten access to these very bedrooms and has a brand new book called Girls' Night, which takes us behind the scenes on disco prep, pre-discos. She's on the line now to fill me in on everything. Good morning, Emer. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks for chatting to me today.
Of course.
So let's talk about Girls' Night. What exactly is the book about?
So the book documents teenage girls in Ireland going to and getting ready for teen discos.
Right, and, you know, as a bloke, long beyond my teens, I do remember my sisters and I remember my friends who were girls and my girlfriends when I was a teenager spending ages kind of socially getting ready together, which is not something lads ever really did, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of why I did this book, because I have such fond memories from doing that when I was a teenager. And it was just an excuse to hang out with your friends.
Yeah.
We'd like take ages doing hair and makeup just to prolong the time that we get to spend with each other.
Yeah, and do you think in some senses the best part of the night was the bit where you were all getting ready, nobody had run off with a fella, nobody had an argument with someone else, you were all just together doing that preparation but also just hanging out?
Yeah, like that was always the best part, and like the excitement a couple of weeks before, talking about what you're going to wear and planning what your hair and makeup is going to be, like that was the real reason why I went to teen discos at that age. Like the actual disco I didn't really care much about.
Yeah, there was more crack to be had beforehand. And documenting this with teenagers now, and obviously you're no longer a teenager, do you feel that it's pretty similar in terms of the conversation topics, the vibes, like, or has anything changed in the intervening years?
I was surprised at how similar it still is. Like, even with phones now, it's still like the atmosphere at the disco and the getting ready beforehand is still the same.
Right.
The only difference is that teenagers now are a lot more advanced than I was at that age.
Right.
Like, they're all really good at makeup and hair, and they also don't wear heels.
Okay.
Whereas me and my friends like tried to wear heels and we're just like dying by the end of the night, whereas they're a bit smarter now and just wear runners.
Yeah, that is definitely a smarter move. And did you think the fashion has changed much?
It is pretty much the exact same. It's all bodycon, kind of very cheap material dresses from, now they buy them from Shein. I bought them from ASOS,
yeah.
But now everyone buys everything from Shein.
And in terms of topic of conversation, I mean, obviously you were there to document them from a visual point of view, but I presume you kind of, you know, once the girls relaxed and around you, that they realised, you know, they could just chat amongst themselves and you weren't really there with a microphone recording them. But in terms of what you saw and witnessed and heard, I mean, are they still talking about the same things you guys talked about?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I can't really remember what I spoke about then.
Right.
I remember, like, when I was getting ready with friends, like, we would not shut up talking, and it was kind of the same. I think they're a bit more confident now. Like, they would kind of talk about boys, but as if they had them wrapped around their finger, not in kind of, like, as if they're pining after them. And, yeah, they're all just, I mean, they're a lot more advanced now because they get information from so many different sources.
Of course, yeah.
Having a phone.
And is fake tan a big thing, and was it when you were younger?
Yeah, it's definitely still a big thing, and it was a big thing when I was younger.
So that's not disappearing anytime soon. I've twin daughters who are 9, so they're I'd say a year away from applying their first bit of fake tan, to be honest with you. And I'm holding on to it for dear life, but they'll eventually get succumbed by it, like everybody else does, I think.
I know, it's such a shame because it just never looks good. Like, it is such a shame because we have such lovely skin as Irish people, but
well, I suppose
it is kind of part of it.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah, it's the cultural side of things where, like, you know, everyone's doing it. You know, I suppose I think back, I'm a lot older than you and certainly a lot older than these teenagers. But, you know, for girls, when I was a certain age, you know, there was a point where the goth thing was it. And so white makeup became a thing. And, you know, people were going the opposite way of fake tan and seeing how white they could be with black eyeshadow and all the rest. You know what I mean? So I suppose it chops and changes with the generations.
Yeah.
But definitely now, fake tan, you do see it everywhere.
Yeah, definitely.
And how's the book been received?
Good, yeah. I think I'm nearly sold out, which I'm pretty surprised.
Incredible.
I wasn't. I kind of, when I started doing this project, I just thought that Irish girls were going to be interested in it, and that was it. But I'm surprised that the people from different countries find it really interesting.
Yeah, it's been picked up by The Guardian, have done a piece on it, Days, The Glosses, like there's loads of places picked up. But I'm not surprised, I suppose. Look, you know, you may have documented the Irish version of this, but I think it's probably quite universal in a bunch of girls, you know, getting ready together, and maybe even a bunch of women as they get later in their life. I mean, I don't know, you know, a few friends or sisters that you might sit around with and do something similar now that you're grown up.
Yeah, I definitely still try to do that as much as I can, because it is just such a fun part of the night, and it just extends your night out.
Yeah, in fact, my producer Maria, who has fond memories of such a thing, was reminding me that there were often nights where they'd realise it was nearly midnight and they hadn't actually gone out yet, and they'd missed everything. This was later in their life, not teenage years maybe, but yeah, certainly in their early 20s, going, oh wait, hang on a minute, we were supposed to be in town 3 hours ago. The night had already happened.
Yeah, I've definitely done that a few times.
Well, look, the book is amazing. It's called Girls' Night by Emer Lynch. I highly recommend, if you want to feel this lovely nostalgia and kind of hark back to your own teenage years, definitely worth grabbing a copy of and having a look at. But as Emer said, nearly all sold out now. So it's amazing. Congratulations on it, Emer. Really loved it.
Thanks so much.
Emer and Maria, you guys must have memories of what happened in people's houses before you went to a teenage disco, or even later before you went out for the night.
You make it sound like it was a long time ago, Dave.
Yeah, I mean,
not you must sure have I appreciate
these
that.
These memories from last weekend in your teenage years.
That's nice, yeah, it was insane. Yeah, I definitely, like, I don't know. Mine was just, my car was always full of shoes, dresses, because you'd be going to, you know, a different person's house for getting
for the
ready.
Night, so, yeah.
But it was, obviously, she was talking about teenage.
That's her book is more focused on the teenage, but you're thinking of 20s. Yeah. And have there been nights when you just basically didn't go out? You spent...
No, you would always go, even if it was, we have to get there by one, or they shut the doors.
By one?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I think I once left my friend's house at 1:30. I think we were just sitting around chatting and like, I think I was halfway through curling my hair and I was like, what time is it? And they're like, oh my God, it's 1:30. We have to go. I was like, why are we like getting a taxi into Dublin City Centre for an hour. And we were only going out with each other. We weren't even meeting people. Yeah. I was like, just going for a dance.
I just don't know why, like, we didn't just go, do you know, let's just have a girly night in and we can curl our hair and put our tan
it's not,
on.
Yeah, it's like, it's not the same.
Yeah, I think if you aimed for the girly night in, it might feel different. It was always anticipation, I suppose, that you guys had.
We will go out at some point. Something fun will happen. Yeah. I do remember the first ever teenage disco I went to, and it wouldn't have been the first one. I was like dressing up,
as opposed to just going to my tracksuit bottoms or
jeans or whatever. And I had a denim miniskirt and a white t-shirt with the number 8 because I think American football themed things were in at the time. And I had a cap sleeve, which my mother was obsessed with.
A what?
A cap sleeve.
It's a short sleeve. Kind of just covers your shoulder.
Interesting. Never heard that before.
Offset the denim miniskirt. Yeah. But I am very much a redheaded girl. I am very, very, very pasty. My skin tone would be, I would say,
Emer, it is
alabaster to grey.
Pale Irish. Don't say pasty.
Oh, it's pasty. Yeah, it's a hint. There's an undercurrent of grey. And people go, what's your undercurrent? Like, it's grey. And my mom, in fairness to her, was like, if you're going to wear an agenda miniskirt now, I think we'll need to get something. And I had no concept of fake tanner. Yeah. I was like, what'd you put on your legs? And that's when I was introduced to sun shimmer.
Oh.
Sun shimmer. I remember that name.
Yeah, for fear that it was basically makeup for your legs. But you put it on, it was instant.
Was it glistening?
You could get a glistener or long, but like you'd be petrified that it would rain or someone would spill a drink on you or, you know, something might happen where anything that would involve street, because if it got wet, it was just all over the shop. And I borrowed a pair of high heels from my friend Linda, white high heels, and I wore them and I felt so cool for about 8 minutes. And I was like, oh, these are painful. Why are we doing this?
Well, Niamh's been in touch. She says, well done, Emer. This is Emer that wrote the book. Not her, Emer, but well done, Emer, for some shimmer.
I did write this book. Yeah, it's me.
Wish I had photos of those nights back in the early 90s when there was no fake tan, no sheen, and no mobile. So you had to plan at school whose house you were getting ready in.
Yeah.
In those days, clothes were so expensive. So we shared makeup, swapped clothes, and hid drinks in toilet cisterns of the local hotel. Fun memories.
Oh, wow. I do have a memory, actually. Speaking of sharing makeup, my two best friends, I was a little bit older, 15 or 16. Terry and Eva were their names, and Terry is very sallow, gorgeous skin, and again, I'm not, But we shared, do you remember Maybelline Dream Matte Mousse? It came in a little pot.
Yes,
it was this really thick foundation. And we just shared it because it was expensive and we'd no money. But like, we are not the same skin tone at all. So some of us were taking huge liberties and it was me. And I look back in those photographs. And like, and then you put bronzer on top.
Oh, of course.
You had to match the legs. Yeah. The sun shimmer on the legs, you know?
087-400-102. I suppose the reality of it is that you need people like Emer to go and document these. Even though there are mobile phones now, if you think back to the 90s, there was, like, unless you had a disposable camera or whatever, there's no record of these things, which is probably a good thing, in fairness.
Well, yeah, because they didn't have GHDs. They had irons and ironing boards and crimpers.
Dave, lads' memories were so different, says Simon in Navan. Before we went to a junior disco, we all headed out to an abandoned stud farm for a few drinks, acted easy, ate a load of mints, went to the door and tried to convince the bouncer you were grand. I don't know, there's lots of people with those kinds of memories flooding in. 087-4100-102. Deck was in touch.
Dave, I remember going down to girlfriend's house when we were only like 13, 14, 15, 16, getting ready for discos and stuff like that. And the girls were actually ironing the hair on the ironing board as well to keep, because we didn't have hair straighteners back then, and if they did, it would cost an absolute fortune.
Yeah, Maria was, man, you were mentioning ironing hair.
Yeah, there was a girl I knew years ago who introduced me to it and then did it to my hair. And as somebody who has very frizzy hair, it was a game changer.
So literally you would have to position your head in such a way that your hair would go onto the ironing board.
Yeah.
And how close to your head could you get?
She would be doing it, so...
Yeah, I know, but like, would she couldn't presumably get up to
your
scalp.
No,
like,
they'd burn the head off you. Yeah. No, but a lot of girls then at the time were going around with... like, you know, like a crease around where they couldn't iron.
So frizz on the top and then dead straight down.
Yeah.
Amazing. Sarah's in Cork this morning. Hiya, Sarah.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
You sent in a photo to me of these incredible pink fur. What? Explain what they are to everybody.
A fashion abomination.
Yeah, that's one way to describe it. Yeah, go on.
So years ago, I want to say now, 15, 20 years ago anyway, when we used to go to the discos here in Cork, you weren't the it girl unless you had these. They're like leg warmers. They come up to the knee and they're literally the only... they're like Yessie's legs.
Yessie's legs. That's the way to describe them. That's perfect.
They came in all different colours. Now, not to mention, these things didn't even have a foot on them. No feet. They'd have to sit over your own shoe and they cost like 50 quid. The parents weren't happy back in the day. Like,
plus, I remember... the baggy jeans that we all used to wear, boys and girls, in those days, like, you'd wear them, they'd come over the whole size of your shoe, but then as soon as you went out, obviously it's Ireland, it was wet, you start to get that kind of, that water seepage up the back of your jeans. Yeah. What about these things? Did they get wet as well?
Oh, they'd get absolutely drenched, and then, like, if I got a white pair one time, and like that now I was wearing the sun shimmer, and it was so glittery, and as the disco was over at about 11 o'clock, you're standing out in the rain outside Cork City Hall and they're no longer white. They're like creeping with brown patches everywhere. You look like the
It looks like the Yeti legs have been dragged through the mud.
Yeah, and the parents weren't happy. Then my mother would say, I'm washing them now. You're getting another few wears out
there. One wear.
We're going to the library, like. We're horrific.
That's absolutely brilliant. Oh, what an amazing memory, Sarah. Thank you so much.
No bother.
See you later. Bye-bye. It turns out that it wasn't just Irish people that were doing this. And in fact, in South Africa, because Gert's been on, he's originally from South Africa, it was the boys that were getting ready like this.
We used to put a lot of effort in back in the 80s, going to discos and that, making sure that your pants were ironed correctly, seams in the correct places, and clothes were matching. And we used to taff a lot, believe it or not, getting ready for the discos. Takes me back many, many years.
Good man, Gert. Thanks for that. And Louise is joining me now. Hi, Louise.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
Good. Did you iron your hair as well?
No, I was very good. I got my mum to do it for me.
So would she literally iron your hair?
I swear to God, the ironing board was out. I'd be kneeling in front of it. Because, of course, you had the nasty perm then, which was going to fashion. So you had to straighten it. And you get the brown paper bag and iron over it, praying the bag wouldn't go on fire.
I'm so stupid. I forgot that you'd have to iron your hair with something on top of it. I literally thought you were ironing your hair.
No, I didn't have anything over mine.
Oh, you did. Maria didn't. So was this...
we moved on.
You moved on to paper bags to try and protect yourself.
Now, this was way before Emer's time, I'd say.
So Maria used to like literally iron her hair. You used to at least have the sense to put something between the iron and the hair. Did you ever get burned?
My mother used to think she was mad.
What, because she had to do it?
Yeah, I made her do it. And you know what the joke about is? We're actually going to a 90s disco on Sunday and it'll be the same crack.
Well, hopefully you'll have a hair straightener of some description now and you won't be ironing your hair, Louise. But come here, where's
and
that on?
Up in the world. It's in Ayrton, Drogheda.
People will love that. Right, go and have a ball. Enjoy brilliant. Yourself.
It's like a student disco. I have to be home at 10.
Thanks, Louise.
No,
see you later, bye. Jane and Holy Cross have been on to say, my son is going to his first disco tonight in Hayes in Thurles. However, no planning, no outfit, barely even a plan to get there in place. Boys and girls are so different. They are. Where we live in Portmarnock, around the corner is a very famous disco called Tamango's.
Yeah.
And Tamango's obviously is an over 18s venue, whatever. But they put on underage discos there. So it could be this year, this date, weekend, it's for the first years. And next week is for the second years or whatever. But you see the girls walking down, you know, toddling along in their high heels that they had only worn for the second time in their lives. And they're all like dressed up to the nines, their hair's curled, their makeup is done. They've got those, Emer said earlier on, those bodycon dresses from Shein. They're all walking along in groups, whatever. And then the lads walk along and you realize, oh, they're not just going to the spa. They're going to the disco. They're in, honestly, they wear, there's a matching, they call them Miller sets, I think. So they're a Nike pair of shorts.
Yeah.
And a Nike t-shirt that matches exactly the same colour.
Yeah.
This kind of polyester-y material, whatever. That's what they just wear. But they just wear them anyway. And then they go, I'm going to the disco. So.
And then they just go.
Just go. Like, well, nothing.
I have a 12-year-old stepson, or bonus son, as I like to call him. And he went to his first disco. It probably was the guts of a year ago now.
Right.
And it was a GAA, like, you know, teenage disco.
Yeah.
I was saying to Johnny, oh, I'll go up and I'll pick his clothes, like leave them on his bed and everything. You know, picked him a real cool pair of jeans, like a few rips in them, like a nice crisp white t-shirt and a little, like it was a Liverpool kind of bomber jacket that he had. I was like, he's going to look so cool. So he came in and I said, there, Mike, I left your clothes upstairs on the bed for you. And he was like, oh, I'm not wearing them. I was like, what?
What did he wear?
It's going to look so cool. And Nike tracksuit.
There you go. Nike tracksuit.
I was like a tracksuit to a disco. I felt so old.
We're all
I'm
learning.
So uncool.
Dave Moore on Today FM Podcast.